Follow Cape Talk on Twitter
at Cape Talk.
28 minutes to 10 o'clock every morning round about this time. Barbara Friedman joins me in studio. She and her team are in charge of our social media channels, as well as they curate our website, capetalk.co.za. Good morning, Barbara. You are very much connected to the social media, and even in ways in how social media is solving true crime mysteries.
Right. So the hashtag Gabby Petito has been trending, especially in the United States, for quite a while now. And this is the latest social media whodunit. And it feels quite frivolous to say that when actually a young woman her body has now been found, which police have now said looks like it is in all likelihood her body. So she and her boyfriend went on a road trip. They are social media travel vloggers. And he came back a little while ago, a few weeks ago, without her. And then only about 10 days later, her family reported her missing. He has subsequently disappeared for the last few days, the boyfriend, Brian Laundry. But social media jumped in right from the start. And according to various reports, the hashtag Gabby Petito had more than 500 million views on TikTok. People were jumping in with geolocating. In fact, I have to admit, they did find the van at some point. But of course, a lot of the clues and the reportings were fake, or they were false, or they were misleading. But everybody's a sleuth. And social media, for some reason, this generation of social media users have really taken to things like TikTok to watch every second of these investigations and try and help.
It's weird. This crowdsourced crime fighting, it reminds me of that Netflix documentary, Don't F With Cats, where essentially in what was a cross-border crime, it was up to people who live on the internet who managed to solve this crime of videos of dead cats and linking it to an actual homicide.
And the truth is that there is some use of having millions of eyes out there looking for a missing person. I was trying to rack my brains this morning. I recently watched a drama crime series. In one of the episodes, there's a young woman who's missing, and some nerd in the series kind of adapts an app, a geolocating app, and then everyone in the community is like, or everyone's like on this and sending clues, and eventually they did find the body. And I kind of thought, well, this is obviously art imitating life, but clearly this is a thing, which is a bit weird for me, but
I just hope people use it more. When it comes to verifying misinformation and
that's the problem.
Fake news that comes through your social media. So if all of a sudden I get a picture that says, look, flooding in Uppington at the moment, and then all of a sudden it gets shared far and wide. But it would actually help if I would just go to a weather app.
Yes.
Or maybe if I were to search a live stream webcam,
yes,
Uppington, Kimberley, I would probably find it and then use that to say, actually, this is not true. So maybe there is some.
Can I just make one point, though? Because, you know, I do love crime dramas and series and stuff. So I've watched millions in my life. One of the common things is, and this is why it's not new, is that whenever there is a murder somewhere, the police always say they get thousands of sightings and phone calls, and a lot of them are whack jobs. You know, that always comes out in these dramas. A lot of them are crazy, but they have to follow up every clue. Now you can multiply that by millions, and people aren't just phoning the cops and giving their tip. They're actually posting it on social media. So it becomes more real, even if it's not true.
The world's longest eruption in history is still taking place in Iceland.
Well, it's the longest in the last 50 years. And, I mean, I didn't know any of this. So I just thought I would mention it in case there were people who were unaware of this as I was. So this Icelandic volcanic eruption, which is in, and I actually Googled how to pronounce it, and now I've lost my writing of it. Fagradalsfjall. I actually Googled and then listened to it. So Fagradalsfjall is actually apparently how you pronounce it. It's a mountain that is erupting. And
there's no C or K in this word in front of me.
But that's how you pronounce. But that's why I thought it was so interesting. So it's spelled Fagrad Alfjall. But when I Googled it, the man on the YouTube video said it's pronounced Fagradalsfjall.
And there's been some amazing drone footage about that.
Amazing. Erupting. And it's erupting, and it's been erupting now for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And it's hundreds of thousands of people have gone there. It's a great tourist attraction, and people were even cooking food on the volcanic rocks. But actually, if you go and read about it, there are volcanoes. The longest known eruption on an island lasted almost 4 years, from November 1963 until June 1967. And that was a volcano on the volcanic island of Surtsey, which is the southernmost point of Isla Sutherland. So I thought that was interesting. And this drone, as we've seen this before, it gets damaged by the heat, but it still goes in there.
I don't know if it's just me. This is just completely anecdotal. Maybe it's because the sun is coming up earlier. Maybe it's because more people are getting vaccinated and our numbers are coming down, that I've seen more cars on the road this morning at 10 to 7 as I'm making my way than I've seen in the last few months. But a survey suggests that most workers do not expect full-time return
right
to work.
So this is an exclusive survey that the BBC commissioned. But I mean, coming upstairs to the studio, I noticed walking through the one large section of our downstairs open plan office, there were a whole lot more people sitting there. I don't know if you noticed that this morning. And that has been this week. So I'm not quite sure whether that is people deciding to come back to work. I think the policy remains the same. If you can work from home, you should. That hasn't changed in terms of our country. But the survey says that most people surveyed do not believe workers will return to the office full time after the coronavirus pandemic. A total of 70% of the people polled predicted workers would never return to offices at the same rate. And obviously the workers interviewed would like to stay home, the majority of them. Managers not so sure about it.
Look, as I'm sure I speak for the rest of my team, for the last 18 months that we have been at work, and we've been here every single day, I'm not too happy with people returning.
It is disturbing. Joe's put his hand up.
You know, our colleagues can stay at home. We managed without them. That's fine.
I know. And, you know, obviously, so managers and people are saying, you know, productivity is not going to go down. It won't harm the economy from, you know, working at home policies. There's so much being written about it at the moment, and CEOs being interviewed and people saying it's just, one said, you're never going to get them to return, which I think is
Barbara Friedman, she curates our social media as well as our website. These and other stories will be available on our website, capetalk.co.za.